produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Under Revived is, you know you're revived when what had you rocked in no longer has you locked in. Ooh, that's good right there. I know y'all sleepy because that's a good point. Notice what happens. He said in the text in John chapter 20, they allow us to see that when you read John 20, it's the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene comes early when it's dark to the grave. She sees the stone taken away from the grave. You got to understand, the last time the disciples had checked in, the last time Mary and them had checked in, Jesus was in the tomb on the other side of the tomb. He was dead, y'all. They saw him as he died on Calvary just on Friday or a few days ago. We know he died, and Mary Magdalene and the disciples had watched him take his last breath. We had seen him on the cross as he had said those seven last words. We watched him in the kangaroo trial at Caiaphas's house, how he was marched from one place to one place, but he never said one mumbling word. We understand that he's gone through in these last few days the excruciating, vilifying death of him being literally beaten to death in the Garden of Gethsemane. We've seen him die, but the good news is, I got good news this morning. Just because you saw him die, don't you dare forget he's got to get up. And that's a word for somebody right there, that no matter what had you rocked in, it does not have you locked in. You can be in between a rock and a hard place, but the good news is, God majors in bringing us back. What had you rocked in no longer has you locked in. You have got to realize God has a resurrection for you. Okay, let me see if I can make this clear, because there are some of us that need to know that you don't need to, let me do it this way. There are some of you, you don't need to chapter 13 your situations, you need to chapter 7 your situations. Chapter 13 is reorganizing and paying debt. Chapter 7 is literally saying, I ain't paying nobody. Okay, let me see. Let me help some black folk out this morning, because there's some folk that's caught in between some rocks and some hard places, and you chapter 13 in some stuff that you really need to chapter 7. You see, chapter 13 simply means that you reorganize, but chapter 7 says I liquidated. In other words, everything I didn't need, I got rid of. Chapter 13 says that I'm keeping some stuff and it's floating around and I'm gonna keep on with it. But chapter 7 says I'm walking away from it and I ain't ever touching that again. Let me help you out. You better learn. Don't let nobody chapter 13 you. You better chapter 7 on that situation. Is there anybody here that knows that I ain't finna allow that to keep on circulating and percolating? I'm finna chapter 7 my situation. Notice he says what had you rocked in no longer has you locked in. Let me give you my second point. Since you ain't like that one, let me give you number two. You know you revived when peace means everything. You know you revive when peace means everything. Let's look at some scripture in John chapter 20, verse 21. Peace means everything. I know I'm revived when peace means everything. So number one, you didn't like that one. What had you rocked in no longer has you locked in. But number two is my peace means everything. John chapter 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Okay, y'all got to be excited about the word of God, because notice what he says. He says, I'm so excited about the word of God until I understand that I don't have time to understand that peace comes from God. I don't have time to deal with the fact that my peace, my errand, my peace comes from the Lord. And notice what he says, peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, I'm sending you. In other words, Jesus says, I'm giving you something you don't have because you need something you don't know you need. Let me read another scripture in Psalms 4 in verse 7. It says, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increase. He says in the next verse, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only making me dwell in safety. Okay. In other words, he says in verse 7, you put a gladness, a joy in my heart that's more than the time of harvest. He says more than when wine increased and I got more money. He says money has no match on what you placed in me. He says there's nothing that I've gotten that can compare to having peace within. Let me see if I can help somebody out. You got to understand that no matter how many new cars you get, that they are one day going to get old. It does not matter how much new furniture you get. Someday it's going to have a crease in it. It don't matter how many clothes you buy. Someday those clothes are going to get tight on you. But you got to understand when you have the peace of God. Okay. He says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For you, Lord, only make me dwell in safety. In other words, I'm only able to dwell in safety because, God, you allow me to lay down and sleep. Tonight, somebody just needs to lay down and go to sleep. You don't need to jump through any more hoops to please the man. You don't need to jump through any more favors. You don't need to let them have no more of you. You need to allow yourself to know that you're in Christ Jesus. And whether you got a woman or a man, all you need is the Lord himself. So tonight, I'm laying down in peace because the Lord is the one that makes me dwell in safety. So my peace means everything. But here's another verse, Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind. Okay, stop right there. Term keep literally means to maintain. He says, thou will maintain him in perfect peace, whose mind, the term mind means conception, or imagination. In other words, when my imagination and my conception is stayed on you, he keeps me, he maintains me in perfect peace. I don't care how much you try to earn and get more money. Until you trust in God and place your mind on the things of God, you're going to constantly unwind. And notice what happens. He says, because he trusted in thee. In other words, he says, whose mind stayed. The term stayed means to take hold of. He says, because he trust in thee. The term trust means to have confidence or surety. In other words, one thing I'm certain of, I'm certain that God will take care of me. My peace means everything. Two things his peace does. Number one, it provides insurance that all is going to work out. When you're talking about being revived and you've got the peace of God, things may not be working out now, but you have insurance that God is going to work it out. Okay, some of y'all going through some bad patches in your life right now, and this is a less than finer than good moment for you, but I need you to know, don't you dare give up, because you do understand if you keep on and if you turn to God, if you trust in God, if you pray to God, if you constantly serve God, if you love God, don't let nobody get you off track from God. I'm trying to tell you, God knows how to work it out. Listen, I'll be the first one to let you know that things don't always go the way I want them to go, but they go the way God has them to go, and it all works together for my good. Is there anybody here that can thank God on a resurrection Sunday morning that all things work together? I know that Wednesday looked bad. I know in the Garden of Gethsemane, while they are arresting Jesus, it looks bad. While Judas has betrayed him, it looks bad. I know while in the Garden of Gethsemane, while the blood is coming out of his capillary, of his brain, and hemodidrosis has set in his sweat, and the blood is literally flowing down his head without a crown on his head yet, I know it looks bad. On his way down the Via Dolorosa, I know it looks bad. I know while they're beating him with the cat skull, and they are beating him, and they are kicking him, and spitting on him, it looks bad. But is there anybody here that knows, sometimes it's got to look bad before it gets good? Is there anybody that can thank God? It did look bad in your life, but you need to testify to somebody, it gets better if you just keep on in God. Because early Sunday morning, is there anybody here that knows, Sunday morning is on the way? So he provides insurance, all is going to work out. Oh, I would have closed right there, but since y'all were quiet on me, I said I'm gonna keep on. So you got insurance, but then secondly, you got assurance. Shout assurance. Look at somebody shout, you got assurance. Yeah, you got assurance. And what assurance is, even if it don't work out the way I want it to, I understand God is in control. Look at somebody, tell them God is in control. How do you know God is in control? I know and trust and believe God is in control. I don't doubt God being in control. I don't sit up and wonder whether God is in control. Listen, as wise and as much wisdom as I have, as much reading as I do, as much investigative skills that I have, I don't ever wonder whether God is in control. I trust that God is in control. And some of us, we didn't got too smart for our own good until we play the fool thinking that we are God. But let me help you out. You can never replace God, because all of us have to one day answer to God, and we've got to know that God is ultimately in control. We have the assurance that even if not, God is in control. Oh, a few months ago, Janine and I, we were on our way, rerouted because we had plans to go one of the territories we were going to. It was a hurricane hit the island, so we were rerouted at the last minute. I had to change up because I love traveling. Man, that's one of my things. I love traveling. And so I found us another spot to go to at the last minute. Some of our friends were heading out with us, and they were going to fly out with us, and we were going, at the last minute, we were going to reroute to Miami. And y'all, I figured, I said, hey, that'll be a good trip. We're going to have a wonderful time. I booked, rechanged the hotel, told everybody, explaining them what was occurring. It was a hurricane going to the island we were going to. If we could we come stay at that hotel, get the same rate we were going to get at the other hotel? They said, cool, Miss Shelton, we'll be glad to have you. And so we rerouted. That morning we got up. We got up late. We jumped up. We grab our stuff. We fly to the airport. As soon as we get to Memphis International, our friends have texted us and told us they've been there for 30 minutes. Y'all, we got priority. And watch this. Every time we go in the airport, we don't go through the regular line. I've told y'all this. Don't get mad at me. But we go through another line. And when we go through the line, we whisk through the line. And y'all, our friends didn't have that clearance. So they had to go the long route. Y'all, we got to the plane. We at A17 all the way down to the last plane on the highway in the Memphis. And I mean, we got to walk a long way. Janine had on her little shoes, looking all cute and everything. I said, baby, you got to come on. We ain't got time. We going to miss the plane. We finally get to the gate. They clear us out, put us in the plane. We're sitting there. And while sitting there, I asked the man at the gate. I said, I got two friends on the way. Could y'all please be patient and push the plane out for about 10 minutes? They just need 10 minutes to get here. They were in TSA, and they got caught up in all of that drama up there. Could you please give them 10 minutes? He said, well, we're going to give them 10 minutes. I said, cool, thank you. We sit down in our seats, buckle up our belts, and y'all, 12 minutes go by. He comes on the plane, he does his count, and he says, okay, it's time to go. I said, hold on. My friends ain't on this plane yet. They going with us. He said, I already held it up long enough. It's time for us to go. I said, can you just hold up 5 more minutes? Because we getting updates from my friends. They saying we running through the airport trying to get there, but we got all these bags with us. I said, okay, come on, just keep on. And so the guy looks at me and he says, do you want to go or do you want to stay? I said, go. as things worked out, they missed the flight. Missed that flight. We get in the air to Miami. We fly, get there, rent our little car, and we get checked into the hotel. And we tell them, I figured out it's another flight. Ask them to put you on the next flight that comes in and arrives at about 2:30. And y'all, as it would have it, it didn't work out to my plan. But it did work out to the plan. Come here for a minute. Because there are times in all of our life where things may not work out according to your plan. But it does work out according to the plan. You got to learn how to trust in God, because God knows how to work it all out. My peace means everything. So he gives us insurance, but he also gives us assurance. But then here's number three. We are not afraid to tell the world about Jesus Christ when we've been revived. Look at somebody, tell them, I know that's right. You see, when you've been revived, you ought not be ashamed to tell the trainer you train with about Jesus Christ. When you're not ashamed, you ought not be. When you've been revived, you ought not be ashamed to tell your boyfriend, your girlfriend, the folks you hang out with about the goodness of the Lord. That ought to be your first conversation, is about the goodness of the Lord. See, when you've been revived, you ought to tell the world about Jesus. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 10, it says, then said Jesus unto them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brother. They go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. In other words, he says, if you tell them about me, I'll show up to them But you got to first be willing to tell them about me. Reason some folk ain't met the Lord yet is because you won't tell nobody about Jesus. You got to be willing to tell a dying world that Jesus Christ is alive and well. But notice, the Bible also says in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Not some power. All power. That term power means authority, force, and capacity. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, which is God, and of the Son, Jesus Christ, and of the Holy Spirit, which completes the Trinity. He says, don't be afraid to tell the world about Jesus. If you love a person, if you care about a person, you ought not mind letting them know that Jesus is alive. Last thing you want is for somebody to die and you're not certain or sure whether they had Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. They ought to know, because you know that Jesus is Lord of their life. Well, let me close it up. Here's my last point. You know you've been revived when what tried to destroy you no longer disturbs you. Mark chapter 16, this is my last verse that I want to look at. In Mark 16, verse 17, it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Now notice what he says. They will speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Term serpents there is an interesting word. It means artful, malicious persons. In other words, when you've been revived and got the Spirit of God on you, you are able to deal with artfully malicious people. Many of us, we like to cut folk off. Sometimes that's not your ministry. Sometimes your ministry is to handle and deal with those that are artfully malicious. You got to learn how to deal with those snakes that are among you. And notice what happens. He says, they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Term recover simply means to get well. Look at somebody, tell them, get well. That's my declaration to you on this week of resurrection as we celebrate the resurrected Lord. Recover, which basically means to get well. Look at somebody, tell them, get well. Yeah, get well. Sickness in your body, get well. Stuff floating in your head, you've got to learn how to get well. Whatever you're dealing with, you got to learn how to get well, because the power of God is able to deliver you from whatever you're dealing with. Addictions, you are able to get well. Sickness in your head, you got to know you can get well. You just got to trust in God. Well, I'm done. Thank y'all so much for being patient. Don't get mad at the babies for crying. They ain't been in church in a while. Keep on bringing them to church. But understand, get well. You don't hear nothing else I say. Remember, my prayer for you this week is to get well. When you've been revived, you know you're on the verge of getting well. Let me close it up this way. One of my favorite movies, Creed 3. Creed 3. If you've not seen Creed 3, I'm about to let little cat out the bag. Creed 3 was a really good movie, really good movie. Y'all know Michael Jordan Jr., he actually directed the movie and did a tremendous job of directing the movie. And in the movie, Michael Jordan, not Michael Jordan, but Michael Jordan, amen, Michael B. Jordan. Michael B. Jordan plays Adonis Creed. He plays the son of Apollo Creed. And Apollo Creed, y'all know Apollo Creed, that was in the old Rocky. But now his son, Adonis Creed, Adonis Creed is he's 39 years old, a boxer, world heavyweight champion in the movie, and he's about to retire until he gets a friend. A friend of his gets out of jail that was locked up, and his friend now becomes his nemesis. And the reason the friend becomes his nemesis is simply this. Some people want what you have, but they don't know what you had to go through to get what you got. Ooh, that's good right there. And y'all watch what happens. The friend gets out of jail and starts rehearsing and reminiscing over what occurred years ago. And Adonis has to let him know, we were children then, man. But y'all, his nemesis, y'all ain't trying to get over that, because he says, I want to be champion of the world. So Adonis has to come out of retirement in order to meet his friend. And y'all, even though he's retired, he starts working out. And while he's training and working out, he's got a trainer by the name of Duke. And Duke tells him this word while they're training to fight for the fight of his life. While Adonis is running up a hill, he starts looking back. And while looking back, y'all, Duke has to tell Adonis, he says, what you looking back for? You better look forward. That's my word for somebody today. That why you keep looking back over what you done lost. Why you could keep looking back over what occurred in your life. You better look forward. Is there anybody here that knows? I gotta look forward. Why don't you just touch somebody and let them know? You better look forward. Because tonight, today, God wants to revive you. He wants you to get to a whole nother level. Is there anybody here that knows? I don't have time to look back because God been too good to me. And I gotta look forward. I know things were bad back then. I know some harmful stuff happened to me. But is there anybody here that knows? I got to keep on looking forward. Why don't you just shake somebody and tell them you better look forward, because God has been good to us. Is there anybody here that knows that even if you had a rough life, you gotta believe and trust and hold on to the fact that God is able to turn your situation around. Is there anybody here that knows that God is able? Why don't you just shout, he's able, Pastor, to turn my situation around. Anybody here know he's able? Shout, he's able to turn it around. And just like he raised Jesus, is there anybody here that knows he'll raise you up out of your situation? Shout, he'll raise you up.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.